Cliffcentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central, and we are coming to you, and you can hear the noise in the background, coming to you live from Gallagher Estate. Phoebe, what's going on here at Gallagher
Estate? I am so excited to be out of studio. So last night was the EduWeek Awards 2016, and it really is about education, sustainability and development throughout Africa and the advancement of education throughout Africa. There were finalists from all across the board. There were winners from all across the board, and it was really a great place to be inspired and motivated. Just the level of commitment of educators in our country and through our continent is unmeasurable, and it's something that we definitely have to get more involved in.
What I love about it, of course, is the fact that we're celebrating the right thing. So it's not just it's not coming together and giving awards for making the most money. It's making the most difference, and I really like that. But what you're not telling people is that, I mean, today you're looking fantastic. Last night you were looking fantastic. Why? Because you were the MC.
Yeah.
You
I forgot that small little part. It was great, and hopefully I'll be able to honor excellence again in education in 2017.
So education, of course, is very important to all of our future CEOs. Why? Because, of course, in any kind of environment, there has to be ongoing education.
Correct.
Now, this very quick conversation that we're going to have here is about the evolution of education. Luby, do you want to introduce our guests, or shall we get them to introduce themselves?
We always get our guests to introduce themselves.
Okay, so where do we start? The foreigner or the local?
The foreign.
The foreigner. Maurice, welcome to Future CEOs. It's great to have you. Could you just tell everyone who you are? What's your claim to fame? Why are you here?
Yeah. In the Netherlands, I am a forecaster for elections already for a long time.
Wow.
But on top of that, and by the way, I was also CEO of several companies. We went public with my market research company.
Fantastic.
We went public with my internet investment company in the year 2000. But now, the last couple of years, I am very much involved with education. Mm. And that's mainly because I have a daughter of 7 now, and also a son of 38. And I see how different the life is of my daughter nowadays with technology. And I saw the difference with the life of my oldest son then without technology, but in the same time you can see that schools are roughly the same then and now. And I decided that if I really want to prepare my daughter for the year 2030 and later, that she cannot go to the same school as my son was in 1980. And we started a new, completely new school concept called the Steve Jobs School.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's a famous name here, isn't there?
Yeah.
Steve Jobs School. Just give us a very, very brief rundown of what the difference is between, or the major difference between, an ordinary educational kind of environment and then what you guys are doing.
Yeah, the ordinary is based on a model of 125 years ago. And that's based on the principle that all children are the same and equal if they are the same age.
Okay.
So we give them all the same education.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a model what, if you prepare children for factories, that's maybe the right model.
Yes.
But nowadays, the world is completely different. You have the technology, internet, different skills than in the past. So the differentiation between children is much more important than the equality.
Mm.
So our school is based on that each child is different, and you have to gear education to that individual quality of this child. And our school is completely organized around that principle. So not anymore children of the same age together in the same class, and they go all on their own pace and their own level, and based on developing their own talents.
That is wonderful.
That is
so forward thinking, and just, you know what, I'm sure that the children that develop through the Steve Jobs schools feel confident in who they are and where they come from and have so much added value to give to the world, Maurice.
Yes, that's true, because also I'm giving a lot of speeches also all over the world because everybody is very much interested. Like I also gave a keynote in this conference,
mm-hmm.
that what you see is what they call the 21st century skills, like cooperation, ICT knowledge. What's basically the most important thing, a creative way to solve the problems where you're standing for.
Yes.
And that's not going to schools and memorize everything, because then you compete with your smartphone and your smartphone knows already everything. It's much more important what they call find, filter and apply. How can I find a solution for my problem? And that's a skill what they have to learn in school.
Find, so, filter and apply.
Yeah, that's
very,
the one.
Very nice. Now, I said to Steve, who's our other guest here, where were you when I was in school? So I think I have to repeat that to you as well, Maurice. Where were you when I was in school? Because I would have hated, I hated having to do this memorization.
Oh, no. Regurgitation, Gareth.
Yeah, exactly. Steve, that introduces you into the conversation. Just please introduce yourself and just give us a brief overview of what you do.
Sure. My name is Steve Sherman, and I am the Chief Imagination Officer for Living Maths.
A whole lot. Imagination Officer?
Absolutely. Because effectively, some people like to call themselves CEOs, some people like to call themselves COOs, and I felt that, you know, using your imagination is far more important, so I added that into
creativity.
My title.
Creativity.
But hold on, I don't see creativity and maths going together. One plus one equals two.
You obviously haven't been taught maths correctly.
Tell us more. You got us.
So I run a maths enrichment program, but it's also STEM-based as well, and we teach a few thousand kids a week in Cape Town. We have a project up in Johannesburg as well. And I also teach in about 200 schools around the world over the internet. So I get to connect with teachers in their classrooms. I get to test out our content in international classes to see if our material is meeting an international standard.
You know what, Steve? I mean, the maths and science records in Africa and in South Africa are at its ultimate low. I think in the educational concept, it's the maths and science that we really need to work on. So does your product or what you believe in help alleviate those stresses of maths and science education?
Well, we need to unpack a few things.
Okay.
If you take our students who took part in the Pan-African World Maths Olympiad, we won.
Okay.
So we are pretty good at maths. If you're talking about private schools and talented individuals, when you start breaking it down and you look at the whole group, and we have an expert on statistics over here next to me, you will find that when you add extra people into the dynamic, then the averages start dropping quite a bit.
Substantially.
So when we start going into a lot of the government schools, especially in some of the disadvantaged areas, you start to see the inequality, you start to see where things are falling apart. I guarantee you that if you were to go into many of the schools and you were to ask some of the teachers to write an exam based on the content that they themselves are actually teaching, I think you would be quite disappointed with the results.
That's an interesting point.
So, and that's something, if I had the money and the time, that's an NGO I'd love to start, where we do assessment of teachers independently of the education department. And we ask teachers to write exams on content that they are actually teaching. Because can you imagine if you go to a doctor and on the wall it says that the doctor scored 20% for all his or her subjects, would you want to go to that doctor?
Nope.
So I think that it's important that if I'm going to be teaching mathematics, I should actually know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And I should be passionate about it.
Yeah, correct. And sad.
So what I'm hearing coming out here, Hlubi, is there's evolution happening immediately now.
Yeah, but even more than evolution, to be honest.
Okay.
I think the last 20 years we went through a revolution.
Okay.
And the point is, of course, that let's say before 1995, the concept of schools was to prepare you for the future. And that means they had to do a lot of things just in case you need it later in life. Because there was no way later in life that you really could obtain the know-how and the knowledge and so on.
So just in case. Interesting.
It's just in case principle. So you learned a lot and you did your final exams and you had to know this, this and this, because just in case.
To fall back on.
Yeah. But now, because you have the information in your pocket on the smartphone or whatever, and the next 5-10 years it will be even more, that we can, all the information is now a commodity. So if you start to memorize everything, because that is a part of just in case, then you're basically competing against a smartphone.
A computer.
So
the internet,
it's
and
much
that
better.
Old school. Old
yeah, that's
school.
Very old school. So it's much better to learn and teach to teach you how you can use the information what's available instead of saying you have to memorize. So in many ways, the curriculum in schools nowadays is perfect to prepare you for the year 1980, but is lousy to prepare you for the year 2030.
Damn it, I was born too late.
So, and that means that basically education cannot be an evolution because my daughter is in this new era, and I don't want my daughter and all the other children not to be prepared for 1980, because when they finish education, they have basically nothing.
But hold on. Let's just slow down a little bit here, because surely that if you begin developing an individual from a very young age and you put them into a stream, or they choose to go into a particular stream, doesn't that limit their options later on when they are looking, maybe, or when they have a midlife crisis? So, I mean, we're talking to future CEOs here. They are people that... there's a certain evolution, or maybe revolution, to your career as well. I'm certain in your own lives that you can just add relate to that.
What I find fascinating is that people will study to become doctors. They will finish their medical degree and then go into business.
Business, yes.
So why would they do that? And that's primarily because maybe the parents said, listen, if you study to be a doctor, that would make us very proud.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of kids are not afforded the opportunity to go into what they are passionate about because their parents tell you, it's not really going to make much of a living for you, so maybe not a good idea. Drama, not a good idea. Pop music, maybe rather do law or accounting, and you can follow as a hobby your musical career. I would love to see young kids empowered with thinking skills and
critical thinking. Correct.
And to me, that's far more important than giving them a set of rules and instructions to follow. And what Maurice was saying is that information is the commodity. You go to some of the parents and you tell them, oh, you know, what's wrong? You've got a sore, scratchy throat. Go Google it. And then they come back and they go, oh my word, I've got cancer. They go, how did you get to that?
That's a problem.
And they start showing you all these websites because their filtering techniques are pathetic.
Exactly. Nice.
So it's great to have all this technology, and it's great to have access to information, but if you don't know how to process it properly, then it becomes a dangerous tool.
So I feel like I'm almost standing corrected here. it's what I feel like, but it's so very interesting. You raise such solid points. Can we move a little bit? So just take both of your experiences and let's move a little bit into the small business entrepreneurial space, if we can. This idea of ongoing learning and how perhaps we're using the wrong models in that environment as well. A thought or two, Steve?
Well, I mean, I run a small business, so to speak. I run workshops on basic financial literacy. We look at entrepreneurship, and we're involved in many initiatives. What I find very interesting is that a lot of people, they want to become professional, or they want to make a lot of money, and they have absolutely no business sense. And they go out and they start doing what they think is going to be successful. And then they say something like 5% of all businesses fail in the first year.
Yes.
And that's because
50%.
They haven't... 5% succeed.
Okay,
sorry, 95% fail in the first year.
Yeah.
Thanks for correcting me. So what is fascinating is that most of those businesses fail because they didn't do the basics. You know, they don't do market research. They don't look at things like, where am I going to get my capital from? But then, once they're in a situation, they don't know how to problem solve. And problem solving is critical in any business, in any size. You know, today, for example, you know, you want your teachers to go and present in a class, and two teachers phone you that morning and say, I can't arrive. What do you do? As a small business, you have to make a plan. You need to be able to problem solve. If you happen to be running a large corporate and on investment software, and all of a sudden there's a glitch in the software and it's adding an extra $10 million to everyone's account, you need to problem solve. These are the kinds of things that you, and maybe you don't have to physically do it yourself. You can always get someone to do it for you. You've got a team of people, but you need to be able to problem solve in everything that you do.
I see a almost a wry grin on your face, Maurice. Tell us what you're thinking.
No, it's problem solving is, of course, a big part of what you need to know. But what I, on top of it, and almost the same what you said, I say also always, okay, in the Netherlands, but also here, you have, let's say, formal education for at least 8, 10 years or even 15 years. And I always say, yeah, they learn you, they teach you the periodic system, they teach you how to calculate the square root of 53, and they don't teach you who you are,
absolutely,
what your qualities are, what your passion is, and how
absolutely,
and how you can train it, and whatever, and also on top of it, they train you for your final examination, something, so you have to pass, and you forget it immediately after
correct,
that examination,
you are so right.
And you don't have the time to do where you're good in, that to develop in that case. So the whole concept of education was right 50 years ago, because that was the time when you really need to do that in this way. But now there are so many ways to get your right information and to also acquire skills, that is something what they have to teach you in school, and then help you to find your talents, your possibilities, and work on that. And of course, there are some basic things you really have to learn.
Of course.
But that's maybe 20% from what they teach you in schools.
I am so excited about this new insight, because I didn't necessarily succeed in school because I broke all those rules. And I'm here now, and I wish I could apply exactly what the Steve Jobs School wants to make the full potential of a human being to be. So
I beg to differ. I think you're very successful at what you do.
But not thanks to education.
It's because you found where your passion lay.
Exactly.
Can you imagine if you had discovered your own radio station at school? I mean, that would have been incredible.
I hear you.
So what happens is that schools don't cater for your passion, for the things that excite you.
For example, in our schools, we are very open to parents, because what we say, parents, they have hobbies, experiences, profession. What do we want to have inside the school? Elementary school. So we have almost every afternoon, the second part of the school, we have 2, 3, 4 parents who give workshops about their hobby.
Lovely.
And children can go to those workshops, can select out of the offering.
Very nice.
That could be yoga, that could be healthy food, that could be music, that could be a DJ, that could be there's one artist who makes pottery, helps you to make pottery, and all that we offer. And we don't say, you're obliged to do this, this, and this. You make a selection according what your own, what you like to do. And not because the curriculum is, you have to do this, 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 and this.
I have to play devil's advocate in this conversation, because I want to go with what you guys are saying, but I have to pull back and just question a little bit. And so one of the questions is, isn't exploration, and that's what I hear coming out here, expensive? Isn't this idea of moving into something an expensive thing to do from a time perspective and from a resource perspective?
Not at all. In fact, one example is we embarked on a project about 2 years ago where we interview celebrities in the STEM world, the science, technology, engineering, and maths,
yes,
and also interesting people in the art world or in the music world. And the idea is to democratize education.
Yeah.
So by interviewing them, we stream it live and we invite schools from around the world to join in, and the kids get to ask the questions.
Wonderful.
So for example, 2 months ago we had the head of NASA,
we had
the head of the International Space Station, we've done quite a few astronauts. But then on the other side, we had, for example, Isabella Rose Taylor, who is 13 years old, and she is a fashion designer, and she has a clothing range in Nordstrom's department stores all around America.
Very nice.
And she's an artist. Now, she's homeschooled, but her parents decided that if that is her passion, they were going to actually allow her to explore that, as opposed to staying in a mainstream school, and look how she's thrived. So we've been interviewing some very interesting people, and what I do find is that if you find something that can allow a child to be excited about it, and in particular, the one question I ask all the people that I interview, I always ask, what was the turning point? What made you get excited about getting involved in, for example, space or in science? And you know what they all came back with? There was either one teacher
who inspired me, who was
passionate about what they did,
there
was one moment where I went to a science center, or someone took me on an outing, or we had a guest speaker at our school. So, you know, Maurice is talking about parents coming in. There might be one teacher who teaches pottery, and all of a sudden, you get a ceramic professional coming out of that.
And also,
to answer your question, you said, will it not be very expensive? And so, I can ask you another question.
Okay.
How much would it have cost if you started the radio station 40 years ago?
One hell of a lot. In fact, I heard...
And now you're doing this.
Yeah. SABC sold, I think it was Highfelt, for 300 million rand.
Yeah.
And anyway, so 300 million rand 20 years ago. That's how much it would have cost me.
Yeah, but that means, because nowadays, if you use technology in a wise way, I mean, I can start on YouTube a channel and put things on.
Exactly.
So there are the whole threshold to do things is so much lower, so it's more your creativity and vision.
Correct.
And if you are stuck in the old model, what I said yesterday also during my my speech that I learned as a CEO one important lesson with innovation, and that's the one. And that's this formula. 0.0 plus NT is E0.0. And that means old organization plus new technology is expensive old organization.
Very nice.
So you have to use the new technology from a completely different model. If you stay in the old model, then you make it even more expensive. Mm-hmm. Only by adding technology is not the solution. But if you turn it around completely, then you can do things for much cheaper than you ever thought. And reach all the goals, what you want.
Very nice.
Stephen, some entrepreneurial advice in the educational space, especially for young Africans, which is so important.
Someone actually asked me to give a presentation on being an edupreneur.
Lovely, love it.
We look at education from an entrepreneurial point of view.
Yeah.
Obviously, running workshops and bringing out your own DVDs and things is quite popular. Everyone's got their own YouTube channel. Everyone's got their own vlogs and podcasts. I think that, you know, when you have something to offer, a certain skill, and you are really good at it, a lot of people might not have faith in you, but if you have faith in your own ability and you can get some experience by exposing people to your skills and they like what you do, then you need to promote that more and get involved in it. And I think that I've met some people who, for example, academically, they were very poor at school. That doesn't mean that they couldn't do it. They switched off, they weren't on, maybe they had learning disabilities, so they learned differently, and that disabled them from achieving the scores they really, really wanted to achieve. But yet, you put them in front of a computer, and they are an absolute tech whiz. Everyone comes to them for advice, and then they realize, well, you know what I could do? I could maybe turn this into business. And then you go around the corner and you go into Dial a Nerd, and there's your story. Yep. A guy who didn't perform very well at school, but he became an IT whiz.
And by the way, we're having the founder of Dial a Nerd on the show very soon. So
wonderful.
Thank you for mentioning.
To give you an additional example, first of all, when we started Steve Jobs School, one of the things the school said what was very expensive to have a help desk, an ICT guy, and so on. And I advised, take some children of 10, 11, 12 and let them do it. So when I was there and there was some minor problem by a presentation, they took two children out of their classroom and asked them, can you resolve it?
Wow.
So that's one. The second thing was also very interesting. That was in high school. And they, at 12, 13 years old, they did for the first time, they did all kinds of entrepreneurial skills as teachers for that. And 3 years later, about 10 companies were founded with in totally already 40 people working for them, and those children were 16 years old.
It's so like every children. Child is gifted. That's
yeah, of course.
You
only have to discover what.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I'm so.
That should education be.
Correct.
I mean, if I can give one more example.
Please.
We run a session on Mondays called the Imagination Chapter. And that is basically, it's a long story of how we got there, but it's an international organization where we volunteer to run maker movement sessions. And last week, one of my kids came to me, she's 8 years old, and she wanted to know if I wanted to buy her soap. And I've got lovely little photographs to show you, but this young girl, Rachel, she has started to make various types of soap in various molds.
Wow.
And she's got her own little packaging.
Little girl.
And she's actually selling them at school and making money. And a portion of the proceeds will now go to charity. And I think that when you start introducing entrepreneurship at a young age, where a kid actually experiences, I mean, here we are in Cape Town last week, we had a young girl from the US who at 11 years old has signed a multi-million dollar deal.
I saw
deal
the lemonade
with
lemonade.
Lemonade.
I saw
she
that.
She started off making lemonade and now she's got
that?
A huge deal with most of the department stores and hopefully will be supplying to South Africa as well.
I saw that.
I think what we're talking about is the result of this evolution or revolution in the education space. It's such a fantastic conversation. We are running out of time, unfortunately.
Final words. Another final word. One final word, each of you,
if
please.
You are going to promote your product, remember that social media is a giant. We never had that back in the day. I mean, I can post one thing, have 15,000 people see it on Twitter, and 25,000 people see it on Facebook, and already I can get business from one post. So I think that when you have something to sell, and you market it correctly on social media, the world is your oyster.
Fantastic, thank you.
And Maurice, my final word should be, school should be the place where you can find yourself and your own talents and develop it to the max.
Very, very nice. And I, extending that, I think businesses, to a certain extent, should be exactly the same. You should be able to find your place. A final word from yourself.
What a great start to my day. I'm inspired.
All right, that's Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. We'll be back after
Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.